Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
So influenced. What is influence? That's a word thrown out all the time right now. Well, it's the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. The capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or the behavior of someone or something. Influencers are all around us. Who do you follow? Who do you follow? In this series, we are looking at the life of Jesus, someone I choose to follow. I suspect many of you choose to follow him as well, because I'm influenced by his teachings, his life, his death, his resurrection. They have affected the world for thousands of years. And when we choose to follow him, we can't help but be influenced by him. And that's what we're doing here tonight. His influence is the reason we're gathered together in community tonight on a Wednesday in February. It's because he's such a huge influence to us. So what is Ash Wednesday? How about a little history lesson really quick? We don't all know what Ash Wednesday even is. It marks the first day of the 40 days of Lent, roughly a 7-week period, and that's not including Sundays. I just recently learned that. I thought that was interesting because I think there's actually 47 days. So not including Sundays leading up to Easter. And maybe you've seen today some people walking around with ashes on their forehead. Many of our older traditional churches will apply ashes to people's foreheads during their services. They are obtained from the palm fronds from last year's Palm Sunday service. That's the day that Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem. And so they will then take those palm fronds that they use for that service, and they'll burn those and use those ashes for the next Ash Wednesday service. Isn't that interesting? I love learning stuff like that. The ashes are applied generally in the shape of a cross, and they are a symbol of penance, mourning, and mortality. So it's really, quite frankly, a reminder going back to Genesis when God talks to Adam after the fall, and he tells him in Genesis 3:19, "For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." Hence the mourning and the mortality of the significance of the ashes. So most people choose to wear those on their forehead. They'll leave them on through the entire day just as a public expression of their faith and their penance. I really enjoy seeing them. I think it's a good reminder, and it's almost encouraging to see that people are celebrating Ash Wednesday and preparing for Lent. It's kind of a mark that we can go, oh, and you believe, and you believe, and you believe. And it's kind of a nice reminder. So now you know why they have ashes on their foreheads. This in mind, what's the purpose of it? Lent is dedicated to reflection, and it's dedicated to prayer and fasting in preparation for Easter. So prayer, reflection, and fasting in preparation for Easter. It ends on Holy Thursday. I thought that was interesting as well. And that is the fifth day of Holy Week, which is the week between Palm Sunday and Easter. And generally, churches might celebrate the Last Supper on that Thursday before they do a Good Friday service. And then, of course, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection on Easter. So that's the purpose of Ash Wednesday and Lent. Do you feel more educated? I hope so. You're welcome. I did my research. So with this in mind, because it's a season of preparation, I felt drawn to looking at how Jesus prepared for his earthly ministry, and I thought that would be a good place to start. Let's look at how his influential impact began. So we're going to be in Matthew 4 tonight. If you have a Bible or a Bible app with you, I invite you to turn to Matthew 4. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. The first verse says this, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The first thing I hope that we will take note of tonight on this Ash Wednesday is to be influenced or led by the Spirit. We often lead ourselves, yet Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. How can we follow his example? What does it even mean to be led by the Spirit? You know, am I ready to learn what that means? Are we ready and prepared to go where the Spirit leads? You know, we're affected by our culture and the context around us, which thinks itself enlightened and educated. And I think it's really funny that we do, because the longer I'm around, the less enlightened I think culture looks to me. So what we really need is to take a step back and through our learning and our intellect, notice God. We've done a really good job of trying to remove God from our intellectualism and our enlightenment. And if we stop and look at God, we will see that he is right there in it, for us and with us in it. Perhaps once upon a time, we were enlightened, but now, not so much. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us and move us. We need the Holy Spirit to influence us. We can be led if we choose to be, but we don't always choose to be. Do you want to be? Do you want to be led by the Holy Spirit? What keeps us from surrendering our control, our expectation, our plans, our ideas of how God works, our ideas of who God is? What hinders us that way? Maybe we're comfortable in our complacency. Maybe we fear where God will take us when he leads us. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There's another name for Jesus I wanted to teach you tonight. It's his Hebrew name. It's Yeshua. I've done a lot of studying recently on the Hebrew nature of Jesus. So you want to say that with me? Yeshua. Isn't that a beautiful name? You never hear him called that here. And so I would encourage you that there's another name you can lean into. So Jesus, Yeshua, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I was noted as well that the patriarchs also encountered God in the wilderness. When we go to our Old Testament, we'll see that they would spend 40 days in the wilderness. Moses and the prophets too spent time in the wilderness, many of them for 40 days. This is significant that Jesus is doing what had been done in Old Testament times. Could God lead us into a wilderness, into the wilderness? And would we go? Would we follow? The wilderness seems to be where God prepares us, where he prepares us for more. I keep getting the word more. He's preparing us for more. It is where we seek him in unique ways, where we listen better away from noise and distractions. It's where temptation is real and our reliance on God is tested. The temptation is real in the wilderness. What happened in the wilderness? The devil showed up in the wilderness where Jesus was. And the devil is there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is there dressed like a friend, masquerading and pretending to want the best for you, to offer you the best, when in fact, destruction and chaos are his goals. He is a master trickster, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. Jesus models that for us here in this passage. This takes place immediately following his baptism, where it says the Spirit of God descended and settled on Jesus. His earthly ministry and journey to the cross was upon him. This time in the wilderness was so important for him. Our time preparing for Easter is important for us. These 40 days are so important for us, and the season of Lent takes on the characteristics of a wilderness. The idea of fasting or abstaining from something for 40 days will come with temptation. For anyone who's ever tried it before, we know the temptation is real. The devil wants to keep you from succeeding in whatever it is you're trying to commit to the Lord. So tonight, I want us to allow the Spirit to lead us during this wilderness season of Lent. I believe he's preparing us for more of him. Perhaps without a wilderness moment, we simply couldn't be ready, or we wouldn't be tempted, or we wouldn't be emptied, of ourself and fully open to what God has for us next. Sometimes we have to go into the wilderness to completely empty ourselves so that we're ready for what God has for us next. It may look different than we expect. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that you would lead us by your Spirit. We're all here expecting something from you, and we ask that you would lead and guide us. We confess that we like the comforts of home, Lord, and the wilderness can seem so scary. Forgive us our hesitation and our fear. Strengthen and equip us for the journey ahead. Open our hearts and minds to follow where you lead. Spirit, I pray that you would move here and now. We're going to continue in Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scripture says people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus fasted. He denied his earthly flesh in obedience to the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness. I've been reading a book by Rabbi Kurt Schneider. He is a Jewish Christian, and he is speaking on fasting just this week as I was reading it, and he had this to say, and I wanted to share it with you. He said, "As we practice denying our flesh, subjecting our soulish impulses to the Lord, and living in obedience to the Spirit, we find our way into peace, helping to more firmly grasp how important it is to resist and restrain our flesh. As we do, we will grow in power and be led victoriously from one breakthrough to the next." Fasting and abstaining is so powerful. Now, Jesus was fully human, so inevitably his earthly body became weak. This is when the devil shows up, when we are weak and vulnerable, when we are tired and tried. But Jesus wasn't alone. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. It doesn't say the Spirit left him in the wilderness. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. That same Spirit is with us and in us today. When we choose to be led, when we choose to be influenced by Jesus, we can trust that the Spirit is right there with us, even when the devil himself is tempting us. And the devil starts with, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Ah, if you are the Son of God, a challenging word that cuts to the center of our pride and our ego. How often do we feel like we need to prove ourselves to someone else because they question us? They question our authority, our position, our calling. And the devil starts with the obvious. Jesus is certainly hungry. He starts with that. This temptation was within Jesus' ability to do an instant miracle to provide food for himself. He could have easily done this. In fact, on two separate occasions in Jesus' ministry, only a couple years later, he multiplies bread for the sake of mass crowds. He does that more than one time. We know he can do this. But in the wilderness, Jesus did not engage with the devil as he had hoped he would. He actually quoted scripture. He goes to Deuteronomy, which is an amazing passage of scripture, and he leans on the truth of God's word. He quotes out of Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to read that passage to you. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. It says, "Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply." There's that multiply word again. "And you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he was having influence. But not all those followers that were there after those times he turned, multiplied the bread, they weren't all there for the right reasons. Jesus wanted to have an effect on their character, their development, and their behavior, but some were just along for the free food and the show. And Jesus talks about this. In John chapter 6, he says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. You did not understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Be influenced by the bread of life. Tonight, as Jesus followers, we're going to pause and remember and acknowledge Jesus as our bread of life through the spiritual practice of communion. Jesus is the bread of life, and we are blessed to get to participate in communion and remember that. In the book, 40 Days of Decrease, she quotes, I read this morning and added it last minute, she quotes Orthodox Reverend Alexander Schmemann, I think I said that right, and it says, the purpose of Lent is not to force on us a few formal obligations, but to soften our hearts so that it may open itself to the realities of the Spirit. There's the Spirit again. To experience the hidden thirst and hunger for communion with God. So Paul tells us how to participate in communion. And in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So we're going to participate in communion tonight. And while the worship team is leading us in the next song, there are two tables in the back that have communion elements. I want to invite you to go back and take communion in your own way. When I grew up, we might say to each other, this is the bread of life given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. And we would share it with each other and we would pray. You might want to just have some alone time with God. You might want to get in a cluster with your family or friends that you're sitting with. This is your time to take communion as you feel called and led by the Spirit to do so. Let's continue. Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Again, we see the devil attacking with if and then using scripture. Only the devil twists scripture to confuse and misdirect. This is not something new. He's done it since the Garden of Eden. That's why Eve was tricked. He twisted scripture. He's nothing new under the sun for him. However, this time, Jesus is the Word of God and cannot be misguided or deceived. Jesus, who is the Word of God, cannot be misguided or deceived. John 1:14 says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." The Word became human. The Word is Jesus in human flesh. And here Jesus is modeling the importance of saturating ourselves in God's Word. We need to have it as part of our life. We need to know it inside and out so that when the devil meets us, we aren't confused and deceived by how he twists it. Be influenced by the Word. Be influenced by the Word. God's Word is a gift. It's mission critical that we spend time with it and in it. God is faithful to reveal himself to us when we are spending time in his Word. He will show us who he is through it. Without it, we're simply prone to getting confused, being fooled, and deceived by the devil. There's another passage of Deuteronomy I want to share with you. It's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And it says this, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children." How will they know the Word if we don't repeat them again and again? If we don't know it, they aren't going to know it. "Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." God's Word. Repeat them. Talk about them. Tie them on your hands. Wear them. Write them. Saturate yourself with God's Word. I want to encourage you, maybe in this season of 40 days in the wilderness of Lent, memorize. Memorize some of God's Word. And I want to make it a little bit easier, maybe, I hope. Back at the other table is some scripture that I've put on cards, some of my favorite ones that I've either memorized or I'm choosing to memorize. For Lent, I'm going to memorize Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. The others I picked, I've already memorized, so I felt like that was cheating. I'm going with one I haven't yet. But I'll tell you, when you lean into God's Word and you're having a hard day and the devil's right there, when you can draw it up from memory, all of a sudden it's not so scary. So I want to encourage you, be influenced by the Word. Matthew 4, 8 through 11. "Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I will give it all to you,' he said, 'if you will kneel down and worship me.' 'Get out of here, Satan,' Jesus told him. 'For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus." It all boiled down to worship. It all boiled down to worship. The devil wanted Jesus to worship him. The devil wants us to worship him. He will offer us enticing, tasty, and shiny things to tempt us. But Jesus modeled here how to respond. "Get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Be influenced to worship God alone. Be influenced to worship God alone. That's what our focus is these next 40 plus days. And should be every day, quite frankly. That's why we're intentionally choosing these 40 days to do the Alive study, to do 40 days of decrease, to be fully centered and focused on who Jesus is and how he is the greatest influencer out there. The Spirit's on the move. Are we ready to be led by the Spirit? Just like Jesus into the wilderness. I hope we're getting prepared for the journey ahead during this Lent season. I'm going to pray. Father, you deserve all glory, honor and praise, just like we just sang, Lord, you deserve all the glory. Lord, we confess that we are tempted daily to be influenced by others. But we want to be influenced by you. We choose to follow you. Lord, help us be devoted to you alone, in our prayer, in our mind, in our hearts. Help us be persistent and to resist the temptations that will be thrown our way. And God, we rely on you to deliver us from evil. Help us hold tightly to our salvation, which is in you. Help us to be filled completely with joy and peace because we trust in you. Lord, I help pray that we would overflow with hope, Lord, confident hope through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that over every person today, may we overflow with confident hope through the power of your Holy Spirit. We worship you and only you. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.